Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
Purdue picked up a graduate transfer at safety last week, added to a position where it needs playmakers in depth, bat, an NFL draft preview, and much more. On Golden Black Radio, Kyle Charters here with Brian Huber, Tom Dienhart by in just a couple of minutes. All right, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the UConn safety turned Boilermaker Tyler Coyle, who decided to grad transfer to Purdue last week. Certainly a guy at a position that Purdue has some needs for a guy who can make a play, some needs for some depth, some needs for some veterans. And all those come now at safety, one would hope at least, with Coyle.
Yeah. You know, when Purdue hit the graduate transfer wire after the season, I don't know if safety would have topped the list when you looked at what Purdue needed coming into next season, because Purdue does have some guys coming back next year who've played at least before, but that is certainly a position where they can upgrade. It might not have looked like as urgent a need as offensive line as, you know, at one point in time, potentially quarterback, linebacker, positions like that. But obviously, it's a position where Purdue could stand to get a higher level of athlete, a higher level of performer. And in Tyler Coyle, obviously, they get somebody the Purdue defensive staff is at least acquainted with. I don't want to say that he necessarily played for Bob Diaco and Anthony Poindexter at UConn because they were only there his redshirt year. So this isn't like Purdue bringing T.J. McCollum from Western Kentucky after years in their system.
Right.
But there's at least some base familiarity there, and this is a guy who's been productive at relatively high level of college football. And, you know, you have to be careful with stats sometimes, because when a team isn't very good, isn't very good on defense, somebody has to make tackles.
Right.
But he does seem like a pretty good player. And obviously somebody who will have every opportunity to make a pretty quick impact for Purdue. That's obviously the plan when you bring in a one-year graduate transfer.
Yeah, that's the argument I've always made with people, that tackles, in my opinion, are one of the – or can be, I should say, one of the more misleading stats in football. Because, as you said, somebody has to make a tackle. And if you're not a great defense and you're out there as the last line of defense, you're going to rack up some tackles. That doesn't mean that that's the case for Coyle. But something to keep in mind, too, it doesn't always transfer from one place to another.
Yeah, but you know, these pro football focused numbers that kind of break down everything about players, and he did, according to their metrics, which are credible, I think, he did have a really good season last year. He was one of two guys on UConn's defense that graded positively. It was his best season of his three at Connecticut. And so there's at least that too, that does suggest that he had a pretty good season last year. Now, what the pro football focus numbers don't do is know assignments. They don't necessarily know context of scheme and whatnot, but on a defense that was not very good, when a guy sticks out the way he did, in that sort of metric, that I think says something.
Yeah. So Jeff Brohm, after last year, you know, and even maybe sort of during the year, talked about how, you know, in hindsight, maybe they needed to pick up a few more, you know, veteran players, even though I think they hit the grad transfer and JC market, you know, fairly hard. They didn't get a lot of those guys. And now here we are, in the middle of April, and Coyle is Purdue's first grad transfer of this class. Should Purdue have tried to hit this harder than they did? Is there still a chance for Purdue to get more guys at some key positions like offensive line, like linebacker? I don't think quarterback is really in play at this point, though perhaps it is.
You wouldn't think.
What do you think? I mean,
yeah, they will continue to look for offensive linemen. Wouldn't surprise me if they still got somebody. I'm sure if there's a linebacker out there, They would be very interested. They did save space for this very reason.
Yeah.
You know, Purdue didn't sign its full allotment of 25 on signing day. I think they were in a position to do so. I think that they very much left space open to be able to do this. I know they're recruiting graduate transfer offensive linemen. They had one at one point for about 36 hours, and obviously that went by the wayside. if it was even 36, I can't remember. But Purdue will continue to recruit offensive linemen off the graduate transfer wire. Obviously, it being the middle of April, the whole scene is pretty picked over at this point. Purdue did go after some guys it didn't get, but I'm sure their eyes remain wide open to that. And if the opportunity presents itself, they will certainly take an offensive lineman. I think this is a market Purdue kind of needs to be in every year. I think it's really hard to build deep, experienced, and complete teams at Purdue. And I think it just makes sense to be in this market every year and to kind of try to hit your needs the best you can on a per-season basis, as opposed to trying to get the whole 4- and 5-year thing to the point where it's pretty airtight. That's a really hard thing to do at Purdue. It's really not happened in the modern era, in my experience, where Purdue is in that position where every position is pretty deep. You are getting a high-level player in the program. They are developing, and then you're replacing older guys with relatively old guys. It's a really hard thing to do, and you're always going to have gaps. And I think the first season under Jeff Brohm showed how valuable that can be when you just slap a couple of Band-Aids over your most urgent needs. I think that can be really valuable, obviously. And I think that's probably a market Purdue would be wise to be in every year. They were in it last year. They obviously looked for offensive linemen last year, badly needed one. It's my strong suspicion they probably had somebody informally lined up that ultimately wound up going by the wayside. But I do think they recruited it pretty seriously last year and just weren't able to get somebody. This year, obviously, they've already got one guy now who will have an opportunity to be a pretty high-impact player, and then obviously they will continue, as I mentioned, to look for offensive linemen and whatever else may come up.
What was your favorite moment of the TJ Stormont era at Purdue?
The double overtime game at Michigan that the basketball team lost. That was basically the entirety of it. He committed right before the game, and he was gone the next day. So it was basically me attending that game and then me driving home. So I can't say it was all that eventful.
Yeah. MCL cafeteria closed, too. Devastating. A West Lafayette institution.
Oh, that was concurrent with Stormont.
Mm-hmm.
So, those two things have to be connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something going
on here. Yeah. All right, let's talk. Man, those were the good old days when that was the biggest news. Let's talk this one-time transfer waiver because the NCAA Council is going to talk about it on Friday. It seems like it's going to pass, right? I mean, they'll vote on May 20th. What is the – if you can tell me all this in less than 20 minutes, what is the impact if this does pass on places like Purdue?
Oh, it's going to be chaos. I mean, it is simply going to be chaos.
Yeah.
And I think at one point in time, it was considered a layup that this was going to pass. It's my personal opinion. This is kind of something that is being thrown out there as a means to kick the can down the road on actually paying the players. But I think that at one point in time, this was viewed as a layup, but I think you're seeing coaches become increasingly vocal in their opposition to this, and that could get this thing deep sixed. Last week, Matt Painter, in his role on the board of directors of the National Association of Basketball Coaches, wrote a letter that went out to all of the membership detailing his opposition to it. Obviously, it was a well thought out, piece that more viewed it from the position of the Division II and Division III and smaller Division I schools. They are the ones that are going to be the real victims in this. And it's already bad for them because the graduate transfer rule is killing them.
Yeah.
But I think you also saw this past weekend, Bob Huggins came out and said some things. Tom Izzo used to Dick Vitale to get his opinion out there. And it's obviously not supportive of this rule. So I could see this sort of groundswell of opposition among the coaches toward it, getting it tabled. But it will be absolute chaos if it passes, because in my opinion, part of a coach's job is to tell players sometimes what they don't want to hear for their benefit.
Yeah.
And if you're constantly on eggshells around all your players, knowing that if you just look at them funny, all of a sudden they could be playing for somebody else in 6 months, that's just, it's just chaos. And there's all sorts of things. The coaches are not the victims here. The coaches get paid millions and millions of dollars to deal with stuff like not knowing who's on your roster, you know, in 3 months. But I don't think it would be in the interests of the student athletes either, because I think that it would lead to scores of bad decisions. And I think that thousands of players over the years have probably transferred around and then looked back on it when they were a little bit older and said, you know what, that first coach I left was right. That was my problem, not his problem. And I just think that if you just give them that leeway at 18 and 19 years old, whatever it may be, you're going to see guys leaving because of girl problems. You're going to see guys leaving because of stupid spats with teammates. You're going to see guys leaving because, as I said before, their coach said something to them that hurt their feelings. That's not all student athletes, obviously. Obviously, some are more mature and in a better position to make a good decision than others, but not all of them. And that's just going to be the reality of it. Coaches aren't going to know who's on their team in 6 months. It's just it's going to be absolute chaos if this thing passes. And I'm not sure anybody's really demanding it. But that's the thing, is that they've just kind of picked this out of the sky to throw something out there as a concession to kick the can down the road on actually giving the players money. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And I think ultimately it probably does not pass, if I had to guess, but I don't know.
It's interesting because, what, a dozen years ago, baseball, and presumably several other minor sports, but baseball, because I was following it, made the opposite change, where you could immediately be eligible after transfer, and they switched over to, you know, the one-year sit-out model that it's had in the last dozen years. And what was happening in baseball was that players were going south, where Tennessee, Ole Miss, whoever, Florida, could oversign, and then finding out that they weren't good enough, or, you know, what coaches had promised wasn't the truth, and then just could freely transfer back north, which sounds okay, but from a coach's perspective, when you put the one-year penalty back in, they could keep those players home just to begin with. And I know that's not directly translatable to college basketball or football, but it's a good point that, you know, with that penalty, you didn't have players just taking off for what they thought were greener pastures in the South. You know, they thought, why don't I just stay here to begin with? And I don't know if that applies really the same way to college basketball, but it was interesting to me back then to know that coaches around here, including Doug Schreiber, was fully on board, you know, with the penalty, because he knew it would help keep kids home.
Right. But what's the difference between baseball and basketball? Money. And you have coaches out there who have to win, coaches who make millions and millions of dollars and have those contracts to protect, coaches who get assessed by the NCAA tournament. This would open up an entirely new avenue of impropriety.
Right.
And the NCAA cannot enforce its rules to begin with. If you don't think people are going to be messing with each other's players even more than they are now, when those players can freely transfer from 1 year to the next, you are as naive as anything. What you will see is if, and I'm not picking on any school here, I'm just picking a name out of a hat here. If Kansas needs a point guard next year, you're going to see press conferences about, all of a sudden, whereas coaches previously would have said, we really like our guys, we think guys can get better next year, it's going to be, man, we have nothing next year, we need a point guard desperately, to sit, to dog whistle to every point guard in the country. Hey, Kansas needs a point guard, guys. We're just saying.
Yeah.
That's what this new world order would be if they do this. And it would be I can't think of a better word than chaos. Absolute chaos.
Yeah. Hey, we got that discussion in less than 20 minutes. Thanks, Brian.
Amazing. No problem.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom Dienhardt. We'll talk a little bit of NFL draft as Purdue looks to get its streak restarted once again. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Chargers team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
And we'll bring in Tom Dienhardt, talk a little bit of football and NFL draft. Before we get to the draft, Tom, wanted to get your thoughts on the newcomer to the football team, sort of where he fits, Tyler Coyle, the transfer safety from UConn. We talked to Brian just a couple of minutes ago about him, but you've been going through the two deep, the post-spring two deep, as we start to look forward to the 2020 season, hopefully. Hashtag hopefully. Where does Coyle fit in the mix?
You know, I think obviously you look at what he did at UConn. He was a guy who made a lot of tackles, played closer to the line of scrimmage. So, just add some veteran, talent to his secondary, Kyle, that I think already is going to be pretty good. Just at the safety spot alone, you have the young guy, Cam Allen, who played quite a bit as a true freshman last season. Of course, Simeon Smiley is going to figure in at safety. You can also play nickel, play some cornerback as well. Marvin Grant, too, don't forget about him. He registered last year, the Motor City product, came to West Lafayette with a lot of hype. Probably would have played last year had he not gotten hurt. He's going to factor in back there as well. And, of course, Brennan Thieneman, Jake Thieneman's younger brother, kind of a quarterback of the secondary, if you will. So, as you can see, there's some talent at safety already. But, again, he's a guy I think that's going to raise that talent level. And then, of course, with Jalen Graham, Kyle, I think that's the big one. You know, he's moving to what we call a dog spot in Bob Diaco's 3-4 defense, an outside linebacker. So Coyle's a guy who I'm sure can take those reps of safety that Graham would have had.
Dog and cat, baby. I like the dog and cat.
Dog and the cat. Yeah, so again, like you said, if we have a season, Kyle, and we could talk, we could have podcasts for 24 hours talking about the what-ifs there, but we'll try to stay positive and maybe see if we can kick this football off sometime. And maybe, who knows, September if we're lucky.
So let's talk a little bit of NFL draft. It gets underway on Thursday, Tom, online, basically. Purdue had its, how many years was it? Was it 20 years? Is that what it was?
It was 21 years, Kyle. Oh. They had a player pick for 21 consecutive drafts dating back to 1998. And, of course, I think, guys, that year you had, like, Brian Alford and Edwin Watson get picked that year to sort of give you a little reminiscence there. And, of course, last year nobody got picked and ended that streak. So I think Purdue will start a new streak this year, though, buddy.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet, especially with Bryson Hopkins and Marcus Bailey. Let's start with Hopkins, the tight end. Will he be the first tight end off the board, the second tight end off the board, and how early in the draft does that come?
I don't know if he'll be picked among the top one or two or three tight ends, but you know what? It just takes one team to fall in love with you, and he's sort of that prototypical NFL tight end now. You know, not a real physical guy, almost more of a larger wide receiver, if you will. A tight end who can line up off the line of scrimmage, be detached, split out, and, you know, can really run down that seam in the field. Now, the one knock on him, of course, Kyle, has been his inconsistent hands. We saw that last year. I think he did lead all Big Ten tight ends in drops. And but, of course, he was the Big Ten tight end of the year, too. Still makes a lot of great catches, just needs a little better consistency with those hands. So I'm thinking he'll be picked between around three and around six, perhaps. I could be wrong, but again, Hopkins could be a guy. Even right there in Indiana, the Colts could use a guy like him for that offense to give them some more weapons downfield. So he's a guy that's definitely going to get picked. I think it's probably going to be the second day, though.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit of Marcus Bailey. It seems like the linebacker has done a pretty good job here over the last month or so of garnering attention again, and considering how his season ended last year, is probably something that he needed to be able to do. You want to talk about a guy who has been snake bitten in his career. I mean, gets injured again in his fifth year, has this whole pandemic that prevents him from working out in front of scouts. I mean, it's just pretty remarkable, but it does seem like Bailey has positioned himself to be drafted this weekend.
Yeah, I think you're right. You can make a movie, right, with what he's had to battle through. Come to West Lafayette from the Columbus, Ohio area as a lightly regarded recruit signed by Daryl Hazel. Injures a knee as a freshman, injures the other knee as a fifth-year senior, has hip surgery as well. He talked about the challenges of getting ready for the draft with the pandemic, on and on it goes. So don't bet against Marcus Bailey, right? I think he'll get picked. Smart player, played a lot of football at a high level. He's a leader, too, and he's been very productive. I think some people worry about his ability to play in space, maybe his speed. But, again, I think he'll find a role, again, a lot like Bryson Hopkins, Kyle, probably a second-day guy, maybe a third-day guy. I think somebody will grab him at some point here on Friday or Saturday. And, again, a guy I think could have a career sort of similar to somebody like a Nico Kudavides or a Landon Johnson, of course, former Boilermaker linebackers who were mid-round picks and forged out nice NFL careers.
Hey, Tom, between the Last Dance on Sunday night and the NFL draft this week, there's actual sports this week.
Yeah, we need it, my friend. I know. actual sports. You know what? I love, for some reason, I've always been a big fan of the draft. I've gotten turned off by how big it's gotten. I know they want to involve more fans, but there's something kind of, I don't know, war rooming about when they used to have it in a hotel ballroom with a small number of fans in there. And it seemed like it was more of a, like you really sneak in a peek into a room and watching something special going on. It wasn't this big event open to the public. And, you know, this year with it being done virtually, now we're kind of back to that, right? Almost sort of like a fantasy football draft you have with your buddies. And in some ways, I'm kind of looking forward to watching them pull it off and then watching it. Again, I kind of feel like maybe you're watching something else supposed to be watching, which always I think, is a little bit more exciting from that standpoint.
Yeah, true. All right, hey, thanks, Tom. Have a good week.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that next on Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahms squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. Be sure to contact East End Grill now for carryout options. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Be sure to check out all our sponsors, including East End Grill and the 6th Street Dive for their carryout options here during the lockdown. All right. Thanks to all of our sponsors, including those two, as well as First Source Bank, Charter's team at Remax Mobility Plus, Follett's, Purdue Federal Credit Union, and Home Field Apparel. Back again next Monday. We'll recap the NFL draft and much more. That's coming up. We drop these podcasts every Monday, of course, Brian and Tom with their own during the week as well. For Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.